Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
I'm surprised you didn't go with Jurecek. You were all in, and now he's on Georgia. You're not picking him. What happens there, Joe?
I have a crush on Benjamin Jurecek, and I get juiced up knowing that he's going to be playing at Georgia. But I have an even bigger crush on Colson Loveland.
And now back to your regular programming.
If you speak better to yourself.
You showed up for like probably the dumbest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Let's have that smile again.
Tell me how that happens. Physically should not happen.
Relax.
If you say.
Give me as well.
Three times a day. God will light it up.
It's just an absolute hack. And he gets his ass kicked by the teammates every week. It's just terrible.
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson, two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. And today we are going to be sharing our... Oh, fuck. Let me start over again. Three, two...
Leave it. Why not?
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson, two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. And today we are going to be sharing with you our top returning offensive players to college football. This is going to be... An initiation for our off-season previews that we're going to do leading up to the start of the season. If you remember, we always love to do this approach of talking about guys at each position group specifically that are important to know for the upcoming season, and the way that we're going to start this by doing just straight offense, defense, and then deep dives on each individual position groups. We're also going to talk about Mike Vrabel caught at the casino, not doing so well as some thoughts from Sean on the latest craze at an MLB ballpark. Sean, how you doing?
Doing okay. I have you been to a driving range that have the tracers, like kind of a junky tracer, junky driving range before?
No, there's not a lot of good ones out here.
I tell you what, I did a closest to the pin today and really got it was about as competitive as I played golf. Just actually finding a little bit of a, and it was terrible weather and I got convinced to go and I was soaking. It was just terrible dog water weather here. And I just went to the driving range and the shot's getting better.
So you're saying when you say dog, it was raining, you went to the driving range?
Yeah, it was raining. Rain. It was raining. It let up a little bit.
Commitment.
Here's the frustrating thing. Do you think that you're getting better at golf right now?
I haven't gone to the range in a month because of the nature of my month. But yeah, what's the question?
Okay, but was your score improving?
Slowly, very slowly, but surely, yeah.
I can tell I'm getting better. I know I'm getting better. My ball is flying straighter. I'm not. The slice is just about all gone. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The score isn't moving an inch. It's just. There.
Well, that's just because you suck. I think that that's what you.
I know I suck, but I'm getting better. How does that? It's the craziest thing to me. How am I constantly getting better? Learning about it.
You know, you step up to the. You're stepping up to the. Your practice, you're doing fine. You step up to the plate. You piss down your leg. It's just the. You know, the natural. Or how much do you drink when you play? Do you drink when you play?
I don't.
Or do you know?
No, okay. the first
maybe
second,
you need to start. See, it's usually the other one way or the other. You either stop drinking or you start drinking. So I think you need to start drinking now that when you play, even if it's 6 in the morning.
The only time I'm better when I'm drinking is on this show. I'm worse sober on the show. I'm better sober in on the golf course.
How many times have you been drunk on this show that I don't know about?
Not often, but maybe we can make it a night right now.
What do I got back here? No, it's a Tuesday. I'm not letting you do that. I'm not letting you do that on a Tuesday. You're not ruining a Tuesday for yourself. Can you share with our listeners a quick word from Ben Online before you go down your depression hole of drinking on a Tuesday night?
Hey, all, fresh Bet Online copy just came in for the Final Four. Thanks, best.
Can I make fun of Cam Rogers now that I'm no longer working?
It's up to you, man.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay. I for some reason,
go ahead. You can make fun of him.
Okay. It's down to the last four teams. I don't have it right now. Bet Online, that's where you should be gambling. That's what I should be doing all day. Instead of going to the driving range and the gym and eating clean, I should be sitting on my couch and gambling. But if you're like me and you want to find that happy medium between true degeneracy and you know, straight edge, find the middle, find Bet Online, place a cheeky little maybe $5 wager, $10 wager. Feeling bold? Just got paid. Somebody finally got you a Venmo back. Throw 20 on it. Final Four is here. We got four teams left. MLB is here. NBA, NHL playoffs around the corner. Bet Online, that's where you need to go. Head to Bet Online today. Stay updated on all the action. And remember to use the promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus and your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. 15 seconds on the read. Give me a point. We're giving them 60. They've stayed loyal through all the chicanery and the mess and all the bad reads. So we're going to try to extend it a little bit for them.
That's incredibly ironic for you to make that statement as if we don't already do that. And we don't already do like 7 minute long reads for Bet Online. See, this is why we need opening segment sponsors, which we're obviously not there yet. We're so far from being
capable. We'll take about. We'll field offers.
Yeah, Rack, how much are you willing to pay us? Rack, see, I feel like Rack could either be Mr. Moneybags or have no money. See if we could convince
him. Hey, Rack, if you're really a lawyer, I'll give you a fair price. I'll give you a $25 sponsorship for the opening segment for the next show.
That's it?
If you want it. We'll split it right down the middle. Wait.
He claims to be a lawyer. I would love to sponsor the opening segment by Rack and Company. That's not the name of a law office. Rack and Rack law offices in Moscow, Idaho.
Here's the thing. You know they got a third friend that's going to come along and that's going to complete the whole trifecta. Joe, I just need to get him in the door with the $25. I need you to start saying, hey, I don't know if that's really feasible for us for the tech costs. Then you can start bumping him up and gouging him. All right.
Yeah,
let me get him in the door with $25.
You act like I'm God, I'm blanking on the name of the movie, but you act like I'm some master negotiator here. No, I'm not gonna be
able to. You're the quant. I need to just go in there and you be the quant.
Okay. Speaking of quant, let's talk some stats with these top guys that are returning in college football. In 2024, we're going to be talking top quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive lineman, one at each position. And I want to open up with Carson Beck as my top quarterback returning in college football. I think that this one should be a foregone conclusion. I don't think that there should be much of a debate. I think that we could look at and pull a number of different examples. This isn't a segment where we're doing and saying, I think that this guy at the end of the season is going to be the best player, or I'm projecting like we did on the last show, breakout players, breakout teams. No, who is the most decorated, top-performing player at their position going into 2023? Carson Beck was so strong up until the SEC championship game, and I would have argued if they won that SEC championship game and he looked as good as he did all the weeks leading up to it, he might have been at the podium for the Heisman Trophy, and we would have been talking about him very differently coming into this upcoming season. We would be so much more confident, and I think there'd be no debate. I'm one of those people who doesn't think that there is one, despite there being one that occurs from time to time on college football Twitter. He has just been so accurate, consistent, and when the offense was faltering because of injuries, when Brock Bowers wasn't available, Ladd McConkey wasn't available, he still stepped up despite not having many options. So Carson Beck, for me, is that guy that I really like that I think is going to have a really fantastic year in 2024.
It's a really good choice. You're not the only one that thinks that way, but unfortunately you're the only one on this show because I want the guy that beat Bama last year. I want Quinn Ewers. That's my quarterback.
Ugh.
Don't do that. Here's something you can't deny, all right? You look into the camera and tell me if you think I'm false here. Quinn Ewers took a great leap last year. He improved a lot. You said, yeah, that's all I need.
All right, I'll let you get your take.
He decided, hey, the mullet quarterback thing was great. You know, that was some good shtick. I'm the man. And then he realized he wasn't the man at the level that he wanted to be, leveled up, took his team to the CFP, revived Texas, just really became a quarterback. He acted like a quarterback last year. I think he could lead the Longhorns to an SEC championship next year. I genuinely do. I see his path to becoming NFL quarterback clearer than I do with Carson Beck right now. And if Carson Beck goes out and lights it up, here's the thing. I'm telling you, I see that path. I think he really does have command of the football when he's throwing it. It's not all scheme. I think when it all clicks for him, he could knock a dime out of the air with a football or whatever would be the most impressive target that you needed. He's just got a confidence and aura about him when he's playing quarterback, especially last year, that could carry on into this year. And I expect it to.
My only problem with him, and I will concede that yes, he took a step forward and he improved, but something is always just off with Quinn Ewers. I can't quantify it. I can't explain it. It is the JJ McCarthy factor.
Can I explain it? I don't think it's Ewers. I think it's Texas. I think colleges
them. It's Quinn Ewers.
I don't think it's Quinn. I think it's actually Texas.
Whenever he's playing as good as he's capable of playing and he's at his ceiling, there's just always one small issue or error or lack of aggressiveness that we kind of saw in the college football playoff where it just doesn't all come to fruition. And that's why I call it the JJ McCarthy factor of like all the boxes are checked. It all makes sense. But then I'm just sitting here like, what's missing? Why can't this work better and as good as everyone's making it sound? It's fine. I don't hate it, but I don't know how you can look at him and Carson Beck and see Carson Beck play as naturally as he did and not think, all right, this guy is going to have a better team, a more healthy team, more experienced team, because not many guys are leaving and they're just going to be Thanos again.
Look, Beck is a stud. He is. He's got the Peyton Manning head shape, which in my brain makes me think he's as cerebral as one of the Mannings. Probably closer to Peyton. It's a little bulbous, so I get that. I think he does have that edge, and I think Quinn Ewers does overthink. I believe when when that ceases, he will really flourish. But there, if he's sitting in the pocket and you're like, oh, it's not clicking, you can see him overthinking. You can see it. At times this year, I expect way less of that. He's going to get too used to it. He is going to be the best quarterback in college football. And if he plays like it, then it's going to turn into another CFP berth.
Well, you are in the camp only of Texas fans. So I'm sure that
I'm the bet I'm making for myself.
If I had to pick my running back, Sean, it would be a guy who faced off against Texas in the Big 12 championship game. And that being Ollie Gordon, oh my God, man, he was so fun to watch down the stretch. In that spree of games where he just completely lit up every team that they faced, he was so freaking fun to watch. And he's got this really unique build at 6'1", 211, where he's lean, he's super bendy. He's kind of like Putty when he's running, the way that he just slides in and out of his cuts. Last year he ran for what? What did you say?
I said, go Devils. Let's go Devils. You said he was like Putty when he runs. Oh, Ayn.
Sorry. You should be shot. He ran for 1,700 yards last year, 21 touchdowns, 6.1 yards per carry. He was the offense for Oklahoma State. They had no production. I think that he should be the first running back selected in the 2025 NFL draft. And I think that his production is only going to get better. He is the prototype, man. He is just an unbelievably fun player to watch.
I had Ollie Gordon slash my player just in, and I shouldn't have even had Ollie Gordon on it because I knew your fan, not fandom, but appreciation for his game. He's incredibly talented. He deserves to be in either one or two on the returning players list. My running back, Quinshon Judkins, going to Ohio State. I love the move. Go ahead. Go to Ohio State. Really churn it out with them. I know you're going to be, it's going to be a 1-2 punch of Travion Henderson and Judkins. I think Judkins takes that one role by like week five. If he can unlock how dynamic he was 2 years ago at Ole Miss, Buckeyes are way up. They are way up, maybe favorites, because he's so good at pass blocking, running between the tackles. He's strong in his arms and even stronger in his legs. I like Judkins a lot. He's a physical running back. I think the tires still have tread on him too, so I'm excited to see what he does with the Buckeyes this year. He's run so hard though that there are concerns next level. I know he's a physical freak, and every rookie running back looks super fast and fresh, but he's a churner, and he's been a churner every year in college football. So hoping at Ohio State we see a lot of good touchdowns from him. I think he's going to be huge on the goal line.
The only thing that I have some pause with him, and I think that there's two sides to this for if it's good or bad. He either him having to split reps with Travion Henderson is either going to like really diminish his production, and he's just going to be like a 1,000-yard guy, and he's going to have a really good year, and it's going to kind of be like Donovan Edwards, Blake Corum, where they both had good stats, but not in the upper echelon of their positions. Or the inverse of this, where he's not taking so many hits and he's going to be way more available. So then he's just going to be even more of a problem and the best running back in the country because he's able to take a blow every once in a while. He's able to, you know, come off the field for a breather and get some air. It's kind of like Jalen Wright, who was really productive last year at Tennessee. And he only was getting like 12 carries a game. It was really weird to like look at his stat line. You're looking and you're seeing he had only 1,000 yards rushing. If this guy was getting 25 carries a game, he probably would have rushed over 2,000 yards. I could kind of see that for Judkins.
And I like that. I like the change of scenery also. If he believed it wasn't going to really work in Lane's system, why not go to a system where running backs thrive? Ohio State. You know the skill players are going to thrive. You know they're going to have a good offensive line. And I think Lane's going to find a running back that works better for Ole Miss also. This is one of those breakups that I think everybody could be happy about in the long run if it works out. Now, if Ole Miss stinks and Judkins isn't getting the burn at Ohio State, then everybody can pick up their torches and fight with each other. But I'm really optimistic about this move.
My wide receiver should not be very shocking to anybody because it's a guy that I have glazed plenty on this show. Luther Burden from Missouri. I am so enamored with watching him go to work. He's one of those guys, not only that's a really good route runner and an unbelievable athlete, but he's one of those guys that you give him the football on a screen or a quick slant, something, just a drag route, and he's going to find a way to take it to the house. He gives me Tyreek Hill vibes, and I know it's like one of those guys where if you bring it up with a player, everyone gets all pissed off, like, we're gonna stop with the Tyreek Hill cough, blah, blah, blah. But I don't give a shit. Luther Burden is the new embodiment of Tyreek Hill, and I think it's going to be the perfect gadget in the NFL. Last year, he had 86 receptions for 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns for a 14.1 yards per catch average. So I think that Luther Burden's impact is only going to get bigger as Missouri is going to try and make a playoff run this year.
It's frustrating because I also had Luther Burden. He's just the guy.
Why is it frustrating?
He's because we should be highlighting other, you know, more players, but this is one I wouldn't budge on. He's so solid at wide receiver. You see so many different wide receivers, different NFL wide receivers in different parts of his game. That lets me know he's going to be special at the next level. You could say his physicality reminds you of whoever, Steve Smith. You could say his separation reminds you whoever, Stevie John, whatever. He's just a perfect compiling of Luther Burden, which has traits of phenomenal athletes, put him on Mizzou and then give Mizzou life. Why not? Love it. Love what he's doing there. Fantastic player and plays up to his competition every time. It's nuts. Who did they play? Did he carve up LSU last year? I know LSU was having some problems. And they were, but I think they had a crazy ass game versus LSU last year. He'll just take over a game. He's got that Marvin Harrison Jr. factor where it's just like, hey, I'm an NFL wide receiver. You guys are college
quarters. Yeah, well, LSU was, he had 149 yards. And then Florida, he had 158.
Yeah, yeah. He's a problem. He is a problem, and he will be so much fun to watch. And I, you know what? It's enhanced that he's going to Mizzou for me. It is. I don't know why. I wish I could. I like it. I like that there's a Mizzou wide receiver that's giving bump to everybody else in the SEC. Love it.
The tight end that I'm obsessed with going into this upcoming season is Colston Loveland from Michigan. So A.J. Barner moves on to the NFL, wasn't really much of a receiving presence, had have been the most annoying tight end prospect to watch because, I mean, we got two white tight ends and like I'm looking from a million miles away and I can't, like, I don't know who's who. And I almost like, it was probably the least amount of effort I put into watching two tight ends. But Colston Loveland, it was easy to figure out which tight end was the better of the two because one was much more dynamic after he caught the football. I think that Colston Loveland is going to develop and turn into a super productive receiver or a receiving tight end in the NFL because he is going to be just a freakish athlete when he tests at the NFL combine. He's fluid, easy route runner, is a threat in space. I'm curious how, you know, new regime at Michigan, how his usage is going to be, but he is the most important offensive weapon outside of Donovan Edwards for Michigan and is going to be super, super productive in 2024.
That's by
the way, last year, so I don't mean to cut you off, last year he had 649 yards and 4 touchdowns on 45 receptions.
That's surprising for you. Not surprising for Loveland. He's at the top of everyone's returning lists. He should be and can be. I'm surprised you didn't go with Jurecek. You were all in, and now he's on Georgia. You're not picking him. What happens there, Joe?
I have a crush on Benjamin Jurecek, and I get juiced up knowing that he's going to be playing at Georgia. But I have an even bigger crush on Colston Loveland. I spotted Colston Loveland when I was doing some in-game scouting for RPM during the season. I wrote him down. I was all excited to bring him to the table to recommend some agents. And then I got shot down by Ryan. He's like, oh, dude, you got to pay attention. We already recommended this guy. And I'm like, oh, you know, fuck me. Okay, thanks, Ryan. This would happen once a week. I'd find some really talented player. And then Ryan would come along and be like, yeah, I found this guy 3 years ago. You gotta keep up. And
maybe
I should just, you know, give up.
Hey, Ryan, good April Fool's joke, by the way. Gosh, that was, I mean, really,
yeah,
genuinely hack. If you ever have an issue about the channel name, or if you ever have an issue of being affiliated with the goofiness on this show, don't be. Who's you belong. End? Who's my tight end? Who did I pick? Bryson Nesbitt, UNC. I like his frame a lot, and I really like his vertical movement. He gets up the field.
That's a wait. That is a real ball knower pick right there. I'm not saying that I'm not saying that's directed at you, but that I was not expecting that. That's a deep pull. That Bryson Nesbitt is a deep pull.
Look,
I'm not. It's not directed
at you. You're pandering.
I'm not. I'm just saying that most, because everyone craps on the ACC, most don't really give a guy like Bryson Nesbitt love. I'm a big fan of him.
I like him. I think there's a place for him in football. He's a tall tight end. He can run. He can catch. He doesn't do too much. I don't need you to do too much. Play tight end really well. And he does. Excited for Bryson Nesbitt. Not excited that he doesn't have Drake May throwing him the ball next year, though.
That's the only thing.
That's a little bit of a concern. But when I was sold on Drake May, it's because I saw over and over again just him dotting up Nesbitt going up the seam every time. Why is so? My thought process is, wow, Drake May is making this throw every time. That's great. And in the back of my mind, I don't even realize, I'm like, this Nesbitt kid's open every time also. So that clicked. I remember liking him. So yeah, Bryson Nesbitt, that's my tight end of the year next year.
2 years ago when they had like three tight ends and he was like, it was just so poor. He should have been a featured weapon. And then this year, I think he might've had some injury issues. So like, he wasn't like totally available, but he is so good linearly. And I really like the pick. I think that most people would jump to the table with Jurecek or with Colston Loveland. I think that this is a really, really great, great pick that you're going with there. Offensive lineman. I thought on this a little bit and I was trying to think on like, who do I really want to go with? And I know that I always get dragged for picking LSU guys, but I can't pick Will Campbell from LSU. I mean, like
I'll change my pick.
It was your pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's the only pick. The offensive lineman, a lot of these guys have moved on and they're going to the NFL, and Will Campbell has been in all SEC presence for LSU. I mean, he's so steady. He's just, he gives me those Joe Alt vibes where he's not necessarily going to completely obliterate everybody he goes against. He's not Amarius Mims. He's not like J.C. Latham when he was just demolishing guys, but he's just so freaking steady and he's so technically sound because he's played a million reps. I'm a big, big Will Campbell fan for what he's going to do next year.
Somebody put up a really good, a film, not even a breakdown, but just put up some good film again about from his game versus Dallas Turner. And watching him, he's so tactical. He's 6'5", 325. So it's going to be super hard to bull him in college. You know, there's some very strong guys. I'm sure if you gave like some three tech a running start, you could get him down. But with the edge guys, he's so tactical. And I'm thinking at times, I'm like, is he getting out of his stance late? Is he slow? He's not slow. Mm. He knows that he can always win on the outside. So why would he ever give up the inside? So even if it's a beat that many people don't see, he's taking just a little pitter pat beat and not taking that little first step. He's saying, okay, the defender is reading this. They're going to just try to get upfield immediately. How could they not? It's almost like a pulling guard situation. But it's an offensive tackle. So they're just seeing quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And then in half a second, oh, here, I'm Will Campbell. I'm right in your face. Where are you going? I got your shoulder pads where I want them. And then I'm pushing you out the way. And you thought you were going to win the rep because you beat me off the line? No, I let you get that half step of confidence thinking you can get there. My arms are so long. I'm so strong. My feet are good. I'm going to win the rep. And he does. It's impressive. Oh, is he impressive? I like this film against Dallas Turner a lot.
You should start doing offensive line breakdowns. I think you should. We need to get you some film. We need to figure that out.
Throw maybe some film my way. I'll see what I can do with it.
I'm not allowed to. Ryan would yell at me. I'm not.
Ryan can't send me any film.
Well, because it's through. I can't. I'll explain after. I'll explain after. We just don't want to get in any trouble. All right, that's gonna do it for our top returning players.
If I had a second O-lineman, Johnny Cornelius, Oregon.
Oh, that means that's obvious.
Fluid athlete, big, tall, strong, made the jump from FCS to FBS and looked like he had been playing FBS his entire life. Extremely confident right tackle, so fast, so fluid. He's a dude that you want to keep your eyes on for Oregon. He is a stud, and I'm not just mentioning that because he went to Rhodey. I truly do believe that he is a top-level FBS offensive lineman.
Yeah, I love Johnny Cornelius, and there's a reason why he was so highly sought after. I think he could land himself in the first round if everything goes according to plan, but him being a part of that Oregon offensive line, they're just going
to
keep
getting. Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Better. Yeah. All right, stupid topics time. I have to bring up this hilarious image, and let's see if I remember to put this into the edit. You can leave a comment if I didn't put it into the edit.
I like that. That's...
But if I did, you need to leave a good job, Joe. I'm really proud of you. There was a picture that BR Betting shared of Mike Vrabel, who is sitting at a, appears to be, is it a craps table?
That's craps. That's craps for sure.
He was spotted at a craps table at the Wynn last week. And now Mike Vrabel quote tweets it and says, you know, slow news day. You win some, you lose some at TMZ Sports. Making fun of the fact that, you know, there's nothing to talk about. So you're obviously bringing him up. I love this, man. He's so locked in, but he also looks so dejected. And it makes me feel, it makes me feel really good that Mike Vrabel is not coaching. So this is what he's spending his time doing. But more importantly, he's one of us. You know, he is terribly overly optimistic, but also bad at gambling.
Yeah, craps. I like that he's throwing the bones. That's great. Here's the only issue. Go ahead, go to the casino. You're not betting on football. You're not betting on other sports. I got no problem with it. Roll the dice, Mike. Go ahead, roll them. Don't crap out. But the issue I have with this whole situation is that this isn't some high-res paparazzi photo that was just walking around the casino. This is another gambler that snapped this photo. This is a sports fan gambler.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Mike Vrabel. All right, because Mike Vrabel could just walk around in society. The only people that are gonna know him are diehard sports fans. Well, he was a linebacker for the Patriots and a coach of the Tennessee Titans. His face isn't plastered everywhere. He's not Dak Prescott or Mike McCarthy.
I mean, he's huge though.
I know he's huge.
He's gotta be pretty recognizable.
You would think, oh, he played football. Okay, cool. But this is another gambler at the table. And the only reason he should be snapping this photo is to make up for losings. At the craps table and selling that to TMZ Sports. You don't take pictures in the casino. Everyone gambles with everybody. All right. Everyone loses. Everyone wins. You don't take pictures of people and just start outing how they did at the casino. Pocket watching is out of control. And this loser that took a picture of Vrabel should never be let back in a casino ever. Yeah, don't take pictures of people at the casino. They're either at their best or their worst, and that shouldn't be out to the public.
Well, why is he not? Well, that's a really good point. Yeah, like leave.
He's not wearing any Titans gear. He's just in a button-up shirt trying to roll some dice with some fellas.
It's also, he's not doing anything wrong. It's like, he's just at a casino. Why is he not at the high rollers table, though, man? Like, he's made enough in his career.
He's a man of the people. And you know what?
Man of the people. The people let him down. The people let him down.
He should go to the Dana White crazy Taylor Lewan games with the Barstool crew. That's where Vrabel should be. But you know what? He's a man of the people. He's a locker room guy. So he wanted to go shoot some craps with the regular Joes, and the regular Joes screwed him over. God, right. You are infuriating. Good for Vrabel.
You sent a picture to me of a very atrociously disgusting hot dog. If I remember to put this picture into the edit, please leave a comment. Let me know.
You don't need to, because this is a disaster.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
The renegade dog is what this abomination is, and I guess it's sold at PNC Park where the Pittsburgh Pirates play. And it looks to be about a 15-inch hot dog covered with, beef from Beef on Wick or Weck, some cucumbers and or pickles. And then pierogies. And the pierogies look kind of sad. That's a sad-looking pierogi. They're not really happy, but the lighting's terrible. This is a terrible abomination. And the problem is, this is the best ballpark food that I've seen on Twitter advertised because it's actually a hot dog. MLB has a huge problem with their food. They do. All right? Have you seen the terrible awfulness that these MLB teams... The Mets can go to hell forever. because all the Mets do is come up with fakakta concessions, and they just, they're bad. They can't be good. Why do you go to a baseball game and want a chicken churro cheesecake? Why do you want a milkshake topped with a full graham cracker marshmallow s'more? It's a baseball game. It's not Disney World. Go eat a hot dog and drink a soda while your dad murmurs eating peanuts. All right, that's what baseball games do. And if you're going with people, have a good time, get some beers, seltzers, whatever. But this Instagram story food for MLB ballparks is hideous in my eyes. It's hideous.
See, you bring up a really good point here, because there's absolutely no goddamn shot that with all the bells and whistles that you're putting on this thing, in the setting where it's a concession, this isn't a kitchen. You know, we're not putting this thing together in an advanced open setting where it can be done precisely and effectively. No, it is rushed in and out. There's no way that this garbage is any good. So why do they overthink it? It's only the MLB that does this. The NFL doesn't do it. The NHL doesn't do it. I don't really know about the NBA. No, I don't even think the NBA. Give me some goddamn chicken tenders. The furthest I will go, and it's more of an LA thing, tacos. That's the furthest I will go. Nachos. That's the furthest
you should go.
Some nachos with some meat on it. The Dodger Stadium does a pulled pork nachos. Like, that's far. Like, I think that's a little bit far, but that's the furthest I'll go. Stop it with all this other goddamn. You bring up a great point. I think that we have ventured into an unrecoverable hell with all of this. We should buy a sports team so that we can just only sell peanuts.
Do these teams, and I don't even think it's the team's problem. I think a lot of people older than us, or they have two views of social media. Social media is everything. That's where we get the money. Or social media doesn't matter. It's all about real life. Baseball is one of the few places where it's just all about real life. Social media, great. But these are social media foods for the least social media environment.
Yeah.
When the Nats first opened up, it was a big deal when they had like a little Shake Shack franchise up on the third deck. People would go up, get their Shake Shack, a little bougie, but you're getting Shake Shack at a game. It's still fries, a burger, or a dog. All right.
Wait. So you're bringing up an even better point here. Outsource the goddamn concessions. Just outsource them.
That's fine. Cool with me. But designing crazy Willy Wonka foods for baseball so these losers that come out of a happy hour take one picture of and don't watch the game, and you're putting resources into that, that's not what it's supposed to be. Baseball doesn't know who watches baseball games. It's not those dorks. It's dudes that grew up watching baseball with their dads, or girls that grew up watching baseball with their mom, or any combination of the two. It's a family game. It stems from family. What's like the second sport you ever played, Joe? T-ball. Of course it was. How could it not be? Everyone plays T-ball. Everyone knows baseball. You go to a baseball game with some role model in your life, and then you start liking baseball. It falls off a little bit at 16, 17 if you have a bad team in your area. If you have a good team, that skyrockets. It skyrocketed for everybody in DC in my age group. Everyone was watching just because it was a good team. But that's where it falls off. And then you kind of start going back in your early 20s because you can drink now and you got a little bit of money. You're like, hey, let's do a baseball game thing. You get hammered at the game. You're eating hot dogs. You're doing hot dog counts for the year. That's good. No one's ever said, hey, let's go try out the cotton candy cake that they have in Section 11, 113A. All right, nobody ever does that. These teams don't know who goes to the games. It's dirtbags and it's family people. That's all it is. Neither of them want to drop $30 for some bullshit that your dumb social media intern or social media executive decided to throw into your whole operation.
Just take what the minor league stadiums do. And I mean, the biggest selling point, I think, is the fact that there's one night a week where the beers are $1.
Yeah.
And everyone's just piss drunk. Just absolutely piss drunk. I think that's cool. And at the end of the day, I want to order an overcooked sausage in a really crusty ass bun and get diarrhea later that night. That's all I want. That's my only expectation.
That's all I want. But now in modern day, Joe, I would like to have a less sad hot dog or a less crusty bun. I shouldn't have to see other things competing with hot dogs at a baseball game. I'll say this. The peanuts are still good. The peanuts in the parks that I go to,
you can't mess up peanuts.
Still good. I bet they try. You ever buy an unsalted bag of peanuts? Those are
messed up. No, is that a thing?
Joe, it's a disaster. And then you try to salt them yourself, and then you're like, this is, I don't even know how peanuts are salted. I'm putting salt on them, and they're not salty. The peanuts are still good, though.
At Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio. What are you saying like that?
Well, that's a fitting end of a manic episode on the show.
Drop a comment below. Make sure to hit that subscribe button. If you're tuning in on audio, leave us a 5-star review, and we will be back on Monday. Yeah, we'll be back on Monday. We'll see about that.
We'll see.
We'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.